Thursday, February 14th, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. If you are tired of the same old sports talk and the same constant subjects again and again, and we're just going to rehash that same subject that we've been talking about all week, stick around here. You're going to like it a little bit better. We talk sports with a dose of common sense. And honestly, we'd rather just laugh at a lot of the sports world whenever it is possible. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. And more importantly, happy Valentine's Day to you. Right? Are you excited for Valentine's Day? I know this is the day that the card companies and the flower companies and the chocolate companies have told us we are supposed to express our love on this particular day. Sure, they're just going to make a few million dollars off of it, but it's really supposed to be all about the love on this Valentine's Day. Now, maybe you are in a relationship for Valentine's Day. Good luck. Here is my advice to you. Try not to screw it up. And I don't care what your significant other says. I don't care if they say, hey, no gifts this year. I don't want anything. Don't do anything. Do not believe that hype.
Don't believe the hype.
You will get yourself in trouble. You will end up sleeping on the couch. But maybe you are single for Valentine's Day. In fact, maybe you are single and bitter for Valentine's Day. Here's a fun game for you. Nice little game you can go play tonight. Go buy a bunch of cheap gumball machine looking wedding rings, okay? And then go to the classy, nice restaurant of your choice and proceed to sneak them over and drop them into various champagne glasses just all around the restaurant. And then sit back and watch people sweat and squirm. If you're gonna have to deal with Valentine's Day, you might as well at least have some fun tonight, whether you are in a relationship or not. If you'd like to contact the show, maybe let us know your secret Valentine. I mean, I don't care. We'll pass it on for you if you'd like. We would love to hear from you. Email us, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Doesn't have to be Valentine related. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you have a suggestion for the show. Maybe you need a little advice. Reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of the Daily Dose gear that is available over there. Got a number of items over there with our Daily Dose logo on it. T-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, a number of things that, again, are going to convey the love that you really want to show people in your life right now for Valentine's Day. I know right now it's a little too late to get it for Valentine's Day. It could be a belated Valentine's Day gift. Don't even worry about that. tpublic.com will get it to you quickly, so make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Got a lot to get to today. As usual, we do have a couple of sports news stories coming out, and then we're actually going to be handing out a few season-end NFL awards and finishing up that 2018 NFL season. Plus, if we have time, you know, we usually do on Thursdays, we take a look at some of the biggest sports media overreactions of the week. We do have a few things that the sports media world is overreacting to. We'll try to get to a couple of those today as well. But let's start off in news that once again makes me think Homer Simpson is in fact running the Denver Broncos.
Mr. Simpson, we've helped hundreds of people in danger. We'll give you a new name, a new job, new identities.
Woo! I want to be John Elway.
Because it was announced yesterday that the Denver Broncos will be trading a mid-round pick. It sounds like probably a fourth-round pick. They did have two fourth round picks. They are going to trade one of those fourth round picks to the Baltimore Ravens for quarterback Joe Flacco. Now, we are already hearing locally about how Flacco, you know, he might actually be better than Case Keenum. I mean, he's got a big arm. He does have a Super Bowl MVP on his mantle. He is a Super Bowl champion. Joe Flacco was just in the wrong spot. Hey, he didn't have a ton of help around him. This might actually be an upgrade for the Denver Broncos. I've got a few thoughts on that. Okay, one, big deal if he is an upgrade. That's not saying a whole lot. Like, to be worse than Case Keenum at this point would be tough to do. So I'm not even looking at that. Secondly, we don't even know if Joe Flacco is healthy. He has missed time over the past few seasons, not with maybe a finger or a rib, or he sprained that giant eyebrow he has over his eyes. But he has been missing time with a bad back. A bad back? Yeah, that's not tricky at all, is it? Guys come back from back injuries every day. Yeah, no, they don't. You never know what the back's going to do. For all we know, Joe Flacco is going to be on the shelf very, very soon, especially playing behind this offensive line. Flacco will be on his backo. Finally, unless the Broncos can get Joe Flacco to rework his current contract, and it doesn't sound like they can, he is owed for this next season $18.5 million. Okay, now here's what we're hearing. Well, hey, that's less than Case Keenum. Do you realize that Case Keenum is set to get $21 million this year? Yes, I understand that. But now you actually have two quarterbacks on your roster. That is close to $40 million tied up in your quarterback. Okay, big deal. I know what everyone's thinking. Well, you just cut Keenum. Then that goes away. And then you've actually reduced your payment to your quarterbacks. Hold up. Not so fast. If you cut Case Keenum, there is a $10 million dead cap hit to your salary cap. So maybe you wouldn't be spending $40 million, but you'd still be spending $28 million on your quarterback. Oh, and for the record, just lobbing this little grenade out to you, Aaron Rodgers is getting $26 million for the season. Do you see what I'm looking at here? Now, of course, the obvious solution is that you need to trade Case Keenum to lower his cap hit to, like, I don't know, $3 million. Okay, but if you are a team out there and you know that the Denver Broncos can't keep Case Keenum, he's just too expensive, it's going to cost them way too much money, why would you give them anything? Just wait until he hits the waiver wire, and if you really want to go pick him up, go pick him up. The Broncos need to hope and pray that, I don't know, someone like the Arizona Cardinals is willing to, like, give them a cactus for Case Keenum so he can go be the starter for them until Josh Rosen gets better. But at this point, John Elway is starting to look like, I don't know, Mike Shanahan near the end, and he was just making these bizarre free agent signings, going out and getting guys like Dale Carter, going and getting guys like Daryl Gardner, and he had just completely lost his mind. And I don't know if it was just his ego running wild and he had basically just reached a point of, I can do anything I want, I've won the Super Bowl, or if he had just completely lost his mind. But we are seeing the same thing from John Elway right now. Forget football. Put the football completely aside. Put aside the fact that Joe Flacco couldn't beat out Lamar Jackson last year. He was beaten out by a kid who we still can't even tell if he can even throw a football yet. Put that all aside. Never mind that. This is just a bad business deal. And Elway keeps making more and more of these deals. Remember what he did last year, going and paying a few million dollars for a punter named Marquette King that couldn't even keep the job when you had a rookie getting a rookie salary. Again, John Elway is making horrible business decisions. It makes no difference if Flacco comes here and, hey, he was a little bit better than we thought, and maybe this new coaching staff and the new offensive line coach, they're going to make all the difference. It doesn't matter. You still don't have a sure thing at quarterback. You still don't have your quarterback of the future, yet you're paying a ton of money to your quarterback position. Well played, John Elway. Or, I don't know, I guess Homer Simpson. Hard to make much sense out of what's going on in Denver right now. Switching over to NBA nonsense, the Los Angeles Lakers continue to slide. They are struggling lately. They got beat by the Atlanta Hawks on Tuesday night. But the team says they are not planning on making a change at head coach. According to Broderick Turner of the Los Angeles Times, a source said Luke Walton's job is safe despite the team's 28-29 record. Here's what he had to say. Nothing is going to happen with Luke. There hasn't been any talk about it, and there won't be any talks about it. Luke will definitely finish the season, and he has the full support. So any talk in the media or on social media can be put to bed about Luke. He's not going anywhere. There has been no conversation about it. Hey, we know fans have been complaining about Luke Walton's struggles. We also know that LeBron James hates every single coach he has ever played for. And I know that team president Magic Johnson said from the start of the season that the coach likely isn't going to change unless, in his words, something drastic happens. So, I mean, apparently, Luke Walton is fine for the season. But let's look at one thing. At this rate that the Lakers are currently on, and I expect them to get better in the second half of the season. I do. I think LeBron James will start to take over. I think the Lakers will play their way into the postseason. I don't know that they'll go very far, but I would think they would at least have some success in the second half of the season. But at the rate they are on now, the way they are playing right now, the regular season would end for the Los Angeles Lakers on April 9th. They've got a game that night. Let's see, it'd probably end around 10:30 Mountain Standard Time, something like that. So at this rate, I would give Luke Walton, let's see, gets done with the game, maybe gets a drink, uses the restroom, maybe does a little bit of media. The over-under on Luke Walton right now getting fired April 9th, right around 10:45 p.m. How would you bet right now? I don't know. I think I might actually go with the under. Hey, coming back, the 2018 NFL season is, of course, over, but we need to hand out some season-end awards. Got a few of them to hand out. We will get started on those when we get back.
What happens when two...
I found this adoption agency.
...turns into five.
She comes with two younger siblings.
In an instant.
Three kids?
And one?
From the creators of Daddy's Home...
We might have a little bit of a knack for this.
Oh, no!
I beg to differ.
...comes Instant Family, the feel-good movie for everyone.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Thanks, Daddy.
Starring Mark Wahlberg...
Should we give them a kiss goodnight?
You guys are overthinking this.
...Rose Byrne and Octavia Spencer. Instant Family, in cinemas now. Certificate 12A.
So the 2018 NFL season is now complete. We are going to hand out a few awards. And the first award that we are going to hand out is the Offensive Rookie of the Year. You know, the 2018 NFL draft is going to be remembered for all of the quarterbacks taken so quickly in it. Everyone at the time was super pumped over the top five candidates. You had Sam Darnold. You had Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. And those five guys just might end up being the next generation of great NFL quarterbacks. They might. We need to see how they grow into their position. But I'll say this, the results were pretty mixed in 2018. New York Jets rookie Sam Darnold threw 15 interceptions. Arizona quarterback Josh Rosen was the worst rated passer in the entire league. Lamar Jackson, he did win a few games with the Baltimore Ravens. But he completed just 99 passes all year, so we really don't know if he can throw the ball yet. Buffalo Bills rookie Josh Allen, I don't know, he looked like a good runner, but we aren't sure if he can pass either. He completed just 52% of his passes. That's like a Tim Tebow kind of stat there. The best of the bunch was easily Cleveland Browns top pick Baker Mayfield, who led the Browns to 7 wins, and he threw for nearly 4,000 yards. But if I'm picking the Offensive Rookie of the Year, I can't go with Baker Mayfield. I suppose we should give some consideration to Denver Broncos rookie running back Philip Lindsay. He had over 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. Now, that might not sound that impressive, but just remember this. Philip Lindsay wasn't drafted. He went completely undrafted. He was signed as a free agent. That's pretty solid. That's pretty good bang for your buck considering you didn't have to waste a draft pick on him. But no, I'm not going to give it to him. Our winner has to be New York Giants rookie running back Saquon Barkley. And remember that the Giants were criticized for taking him so high in the draft. They took him number 2 just behind Baker Mayfield. But running behind that horrible offensive line, Saquon Barkley ran for over 1,300 yards. He had 11 touchdowns. And this might be even more impressive. He averaged 5 yards per carry. Hey, Saquon Barkley looks like he may be a generational talent if he can get some help. And if he can stay healthy, he wins our Offensive Rookie of the Year. Over on the defensive side, we have a few choices for our Defensive Rookie of the Year. Browns rookie cornerback Denzel Ward, he might be undersized, but he broke up 11 passes. He had 3 interceptions. Denver Broncos defensive end Bradley Chubb had 60 tackles. He also had 12 sacks and forced 2 fumbles. Nice rookie year for Bradley Chubb. Chicago Bears rookie linebacker Roquan Smith has a very bright future. He racked up 121 tackles. He had 5 sacks. And Indianapolis Colts linebacker Darius Leonard made a crazy 163 tackles this year. And of course, the Colts became a playoff team. But if I am going to give out my defensive rookie of the year, it's got to go to Los Angeles Chargers safety Derwin James. He had 105 tackles. He also made 3 interceptions for the Chargers defense, and he helped make the Chargers defense one of the top 10 units in the league. They actually went to the playoffs and won a playoff game. It's been a while since we could say anything like that about the Chargers. Derwin James wins our Defensive Rookie of the Year. Moving to our Offensive Player of the Year. You know, the NFL in 2018 was all about the offense, particularly the passing game. Do you realize that in 2018, we had 12 quarterbacks throw for more than 4,000 yards? So who should be our 2018 Offensive Player of the Year? Hey, as great as the quarterbacks were, Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott, he almost single-handedly made the Cowboys a contender. He led the league in rushing with over 1,400 yards. He had 6 touchdowns, and more importantly, he took some of the pressure off of quarterback Dak Prescott and that Dallas Cowboys defense. Ezekiel Elliott's got to be in the conversation. Los Angeles Rams quarterback Jared Goff threw for 32 touchdowns this year and took his Rams to the Super Bowl. New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees led the Saints to the top seed in the NFC. And then he also set the NFL record for highest completion percentage in a season. Do you realize that Drew Brees completed over 74% of his passes? He's just so accurate. Drew Brees definitely in consideration for Offensive Player of the Year. But if I am giving out an Offensive Player of the Year award in 2018, it has to go to the guy that had to carry his team all year because his defense was so terrible. Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, in his first season as the starter, threw for 5,097 yards. He had 50 touchdowns. And he led the Chiefs to the top record in the AFC and to the AFC Championship. And hey, gotta give Mahomes some credit too. He did it with some flair. He made a number of impressive throws all year. He never did look his age. The future of the Kansas City Chiefs looks very bright. With Patrick Mahomes at the controls for a while, he wins our Offensive Player of the Year. But you know, it's a little tougher to pick a Defensive Player of the Year because the NFL has basically legislated defense out of the league. But as usually happens, when games are on the line, you do at some point need to get a stop and finish things off, right? So based on that, there are a few players that we've got to consider for our Defensive Player of the Year. Now, we could give it to former Oakland Raiders pass rusher Khalil Mack. You'll remember he was traded to the Chicago Bears prior to the season. And while the Raiders were busy complaining about not having any pass rushers, Khalil Mack was posting 47 tackles and 12.5 sacks and making the Bears defense one of the best in the entire league. But, I mean, Khalil Mack did miss a few games with injury, so I can't give it to him. Chiefs defensive end Chris Jones set the NFL record for most consecutive games recording a sack with 11 straight games. But, I mean, the Chiefs defense was horrible, so never mind, I can't give it to Chris Jones. No, I have to give our Defensive Player of the Year to the guy that made the biggest defensive plays, even while playing in a 54-51 Monday night shootout, because Los Angeles Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald had an insane league-leading 20.5 sacks from the interior of the line. Not from the end, from inside. Even in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots, Aaron Donald had 5 tackles and he kept disrupting Tom Brady throughout the day. It's not his fault he didn't get any help from his offense. Aaron Donald easily wins our Defensive Player of the Year. So who was the 2018 NFL Coach of the Year? I have a number of candidates that could win that award. Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid got Patrick Mahomes to play at an all-time level, and the Chiefs had home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Pretty good stuff from Andy Reid. He definitely coached up Patrick Mahomes. But again, it did just delay the inevitable, right? Philadelphia Eagles coach Doug Peterson rallied his team behind backup quarterback Nick Foles, and the Eagles made the playoffs. They even won a playoff game. Doug Peterson fought off the Super Bowl hangover at the end of the year and got Philly back into the postseason. And Los Angeles Rams head coach Sean McVay took his team to the Super Bowl. And don't underestimate this, he also got a lot of coaches that have met him new head coaching jobs. Although we probably shouldn't bring up his whole boy genius and his wild and crazy offense after that whole Super Bowl thing, should we? So, no, I'm not going to give it to Sean McVay either. No, my winner has to go to New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, who once again transformed his team from looking average and looking beatable for a good portion of the season. But then once the postseason hit, the light just flips on. The Patriots just keep getting better. Oh, I know. We're probably going to find out he had a spy cam in every single opposing locker room or something at some point. But let's cross that bridge when we get to it. Bill Belichick is our 2018 NFL Coach of the Year. Let's move over to Comeback Player of the Year. And we've got a few candidates for that award. At the age of 33, running back Adrian Peterson signed with the Washington Redskins. Didn't really expect much from him. He rushed for over 1,000 yards. Pretty impressive stuff from Adrian Peterson. New York Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. came back from a broken ankle and possibly, I don't know, a cocaine bender or whatever he was doing to make 77 catches for over 1,000 yards, and he had 6 touchdowns. Pretty solid comeback there. I thought sure he was going to be on the commissioner's exempt list, so he needs to be a contender. And Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson came back from his blown knee last year and threw for over 4,000 yards and 26 touchdowns. Good to see Deshaun Watson get back and have a successful 2018 season. But if I'm going to give my Comeback Player of the Year award to someone, I have to give it to someone I thought actually might be done. Texans defensive end J.J. Watt came back this year from a broken leg. Oh, and before that, a herniated disc in his back. Oh, and before that, a broken hand. Oh, and before that, a strained groin. You know, I was beginning to wonder if maybe J.J. Watt was just done. But in 2018, Watt bounced back. He had 61 tackles. He had 16 sacks. He forced 7 fumbles. No question about it. J.J. Watt is back, and he wins our NFL Comeback Player of the Year. Okay, so who is our most valuable player of the 2018 NFL season? I mean, hey, Tom Brady just won a 6th Super Bowl. He could easily get it. But he did struggle at times this season. His completion percentage, his yards per pass, both of those dropped. And his 11 interceptions were the most in a season that he has had since 2013. Drew Brees had his record-setting season down in New Orleans. He should definitely be in consideration. And of course, Patrick Mahomes was insane in Kansas City, but I am actually going to go somewhere else with my most valuable player award. I want you to think about this. Your team is easily one of the worst teams in the NFL. They go 4-12, and your career looks like it's in serious jeopardy. Going into the season, we literally don't know if you can play or not. In fact, about halfway through the season, we still aren't really sure if you're back yet. But this guy just kept getting better, and by the end of the season, his team goes from 4-12 and one of the worst teams in the league to 10-6, and they even won a playoff game. Oh, and he throws for 4,500 yards and 39 touchdowns. I know it might sound crazy, but our 2018 NFL Most Valuable Player is going to go to the bumpkin with the bad arm. Yes, Indianapolis Colts quarterback Andrew Luck clearly made a huge difference for his team. And look at the other contenders. Tom Brady has missed time, and the Patriots have still won. Patrick Mahomes wasn't even a starter until this year. They won with Alex Smith. As good as Drew Brees was, the running game was a big contributor down in New Orleans. But you take Andrew Luck off of the Indianapolis Colts, they don't just drop off a little. They become one of the worst teams in the league, and for that reason, he is our MVP. Hey, coming back, we need to try to get to a few sports media overreactions of the week. We don't have a ton this week, but there are a couple of overreactions that we need to make sure we talk about.
Technology today has never been smarter, but smart only matters when you put it to good use. Let's put smart to work. Search IBM UK to find out more.
Okay, so like we do on a lot of Thursdays, we have to talk about some of the sports media overreactions of the week. And I know what they're trying to do. I understand it. They're trying to get clicks. They're trying to get you to tune in. They're trying to get you to listen. A lot of times they throw something out there. It doesn't even make sense. They're just fishing. They're hoping to catch you and pull you in. On Thursdays, a lot of times, we like to take a little bit closer look and see if any of the things they're saying make any sense whatsoever. Don't have a ton of them this week, but I do have a couple of sports media overreactions that I did want to discuss. And one of the things that we are hearing, and we are hearing it on a number of different networks, is after watching that first weekend of the Alliance of American Football, which, by the way, I did watch a couple of those games, wasn't bad, didn't feel gimmicky, didn't feel World League-y or Arena League-y or XFL-y. It felt like football. No, they don't have kickoffs, and you've got to go for two if you score a touchdown, but other than that, some recognizable names, a couple of guys I knew, a few coaches that I knew, and it was decent football, and I think it could actually get better. There is already even talk that maybe the AAF could be kind of a farm league for the NFL. So we'll see where this all goes. But one of the things that I heard in the sports media world this week was that former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick should go play in the Alliance of American Football. He could get seen. He could bring them some attention. He could show NFL teams what he is capable of, and he could make a case that the NFL teams are missing out by not signing him to a contract. Yeah, that sounds great, but what if he goes out and sucks? See, right now, Colin Kaepernick has this little podium where he can say, hey guys, I'm really good, and I'm not getting signed only because of my political stances. If he goes out in the AAF and he doesn't dominate, everyone goes, yeah, that's why you don't have a job, because you're not that good. And I absolutely think that would be a distinct possibility. Colin Kaepernick cannot go play anywhere. I don't even think he can take an NFL contract right now. Because as soon as he does, and we see his game, and we all go, oh, that's why he doesn't have a job. Oh, we forgot. We forgot about those last few years in San Francisco when he was terrible and he couldn't beat out Blaine Gabbert. I know this is very popular to jump on this right now. I know right after the Cleveland Browns went and signed Kareem Hunt, everyone started talking about Colin Kaepernick and why doesn't he have a job? The worst thing in the world for him right now is to go play football, because he is much, much better on his podium saying, hey, look, I'm getting a raw deal. If he goes out and plays the way he probably will play, it will not be good for Colin Kaepernick's business, because everything he has will go away very, very quickly. One last thing that we are hearing in the sports media world, and that is that NFL playoff teams should probably be making a run at Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown. Hey, there is no question Antonio Brown is talented. Probably the most talented wide receiver in the NFL over the last few years. And yet, do you really want to go near that? One, he's going to cost you a ton of money. Two, he's going to bring you drama and headaches in your locker room. And three, he's completely undependable. You literally do not know if he is going to show up for work on the biggest game, on the biggest day of your team's season. He's proven that. For that reason, you really want to go out and sign Antonio Brown? I mean, spin the wheel and take your chances? But he was in a situation in Pittsburgh that was very conducive to having success, and he couldn't continue the success there. He eventually melted down, and he was constantly in trouble there, doing silly things in the locker room, having rifts with his teammates, and then eventually just completely not showing up for work. Hey, if you want to go sign Antonio Brown, feel free. Right now, I'm a little bit concerned that the Denver Broncos might try to make a run at that guy. My only hope, they don't have much money, and he's not a quarterback that's 6'6" or taller, so John Elway probably isn't that interested. But hey, if your team wants him, good luck, because I think you know what you're getting in the end. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dust, we will be previewing the weekend in sports. Got a number of things to watch this weekend in sports. I know we don't have the NFL, we don't have college football, but trust me on this, there are still a number of things you're going to want to tune in for. Plus, as we do each Friday, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You know you've got to stop by for that. Have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback, for the questions, for the suggestions. Thank you most of all for sharing the show. That is the only way we get heard by more people, by you going out and sharing it with someone. We appreciate that so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday and a happy Valentine's Day.
The new Vauxhall Combo Life doesn't just get you from A to B. It gets you from A to...
Big family getaways with 7 seats.
From A to...
Best of British road trips with touchscreen sat-nav.
From A to...
Brilliant views with panoramic sunroof.
See why...
There's more to combo life. With 5 years 0% APR. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903.
Conditional sales subject to status, T's and C's, 18 plus, Vauxhall Finance. Search Combo Life.